Just as Jesus Christ was anointed priest, prophet, and king, so also each one of us has been anointed priest, prophet, and king. We were made members of the body of Jesus Christ at our baptism, when each of us was anointed for the first time into the church community, which is the body of Christ. The very word Christ means anointed one. Christ Jesus means anointed Savior or healer. Christ came to save, to liberate, to heal us. And today, on the feast of Christ the King, as we celebrate the conclusion of the liturgical year, we also prepare for the beginning of a new year of worship, which is Advent, that begins next Sunday. And today's celebration provides an excellent opportunity to provide a transition and prepare for the season of Advent, whose theme here will be healing. And we'll begin next Sunday with the celebration of the sacrament of anointing at each one of the Masses. Those who wish to be anointed next week will be invited to come up after each Mass and receive the blessing, the healing blessing of the Church. For such a wide variety of reasons that many people in an average parish such as this could receive the sacrament. Now, even though it is intended for those people seriously ill, the understanding of serious illness is broad. An official document on this sacrament says, to be sick means bodily pain or psychic depression or isolation of one's profession. To be sick means discouragement or even despair, or hardness of heart, or spiritual dryness. Now, we might think that it is not very complimentary to even suggest that we are all sick. But in reality, the point is that all of us human beings are in process. Each one of us is in the process of becoming whole throughout our entire life. Not a single one of us is complete yet. We are not yet what we might someday be. Not a single one of us is without wounds of one kind or another. Not only are there bunions that take the joy out of walking or jogging, arthritis that might threaten one's tennis game, but also for some there's cancer that can threaten one's life. And in the Old Testament, the great hero, the great prophet of Advent, Isaiah, speaks also about pains to be healed in another way. He speaks of our hearts that sometimes become paralyzed with fear, of our eyes that at times are closed to the misery of other people. Our ears that sometimes need to hear the laughter of children or the cries of the aged. Mute tongues for some people who have forgotten even how to sing. Our wounds are many and various, and each one of us needs the healing touch of the power of the Lord. And Isaiah sings of that power that is at work in our world today. Isaiah says that people will be freed of infirmities when the Lord comes. And that is why so many readings in the Old Testament and the New speak of hope. And in the Gospel in particular, the Good News repeats again and again, saying, look, see, Christ our King, Christ, the Anointed One, the Savior, Jesus, the Healer, has come with healing power for us. Now, what does that mean, practically speaking, in our daily lives? What are the ways in which we, each of us, might expect healing from the Savior, the Healer, the Christ, the Anointed King? We do believe that the Lord does share His power of healing. Occasionally, He gives that power to heal physical ills to someone or to some places, like Lourdes. And occasionally, crippled legs are made straight, but in the general run, those things are rare. But there is always available today, from the church, the body of the healing Christ, the anointing, the blessing of the church in the sacrament of the sick. And its power to heal people is real, but usually not miraculous. It reminds us of the Lord's power, of the need always to keep on turning our lives over to Him. And when this sacrament is received in faith, it is able to give us a whole new attitude, an attitude with which to deal with, to fight illness or any kind of blindness of spirit. There is, first of all, the healing of the wounds of sin, which always begins at baptism and then continues in the sacrament of reconciliation. Our church is continually providing healing in many ways. Those are two. Baptism gives us a whole new kind of life, the ability to live on an entirely different level than we knew before. And St. Paul calls it grace and tells us that baptism makes each of us a new kind of creature. Baptism calls us to receive the Lord's healing for our own sins and reminds us that once we are forgiven and healed, then we are called upon to heal other people. And secondly, there's a real healing that comes with reconciliation, both sacramental and non-sacramental, but they're both real. The sacraments are not magic. They require faith and the power of Jesus shared with His church. But they are life-giving. And the sacrament of reconciliation recreates a person. And so also does reconciliation in a non-sacramental context, that it can happen any day of your life, no matter where you are, with whom you are. It means that reconciliation is the power of human love that God has given you, and the power of forgiveness that the Lord has given to each one of us. And we discover something, that loving other people seems to come naturally to us, simply as human beings. But we discover that forgiving other people seems to be a special gift that comes only from the Spirit of the Lord. Loving comes naturally. Forgiving comes only from the Spirit. We might say that the ability to forgive is perhaps love brought to perfection. We think perhaps of that long TV series entitled All in the Family, and we think of Edith Bunker. You remember the time that Archie became involved with Denise, the waitress, or when he broke his promise and did bet on the horses? The scene that followed when he returned home each time, and the forgiveness of Edith, his wife, was so real and so touching, right there on camera, that the studio audience live broke into spontaneous applause. It means that people recognize the beauty, the touching reality of forgiveness because it is so rare. But on the other hand, it need not be rare. Our ability to forgive is a gift given to each of us. And if we decide to use it, it could make us all into wonder workers. It could make healing people out of each of us. If husbands and wives could learn how to forgive each other's foibles and faults, children and parents could forgive each other, how many mute tongues would learn how to sing again? How many cases of ulcers, colitis, nervous stomach, migraines, backaches would be improved if not healed on the spot? If in fact, above all, each of us could learn how to forgive ourselves for our own personal failures, to forgive ourselves in our own eyes, what magnificent inner healing would take place. All of us, without exception, bear psychological wounds, and we want to be healed of them. All we need to do is check out the paperback section of the supermarket, the department store, to realize that we people here in our country have a burning desire to be made whole, to find forgiveness. Every single week there are new titles telling us how to do it ourselves. The gospel tells us to start with the healing power of Jesus, the anointed Savior, the anointed King Healer. Jesus, the healer, has the power to change all that afflicts us. Now we might ask, does that mean that we should stop worrying about the expensive cost of medicine or psychiatric care or just leave the broken leg or the neurosis to him? It might be for a few very, very rare individuals. But for most people, it always means to continue seeing the doctor when necessary, because God works through the healing power of the doctor. But above all, to continue remembering that we Christian people, in our baptism, we have all been touched personally by the healing power of the Lord. Just as he touched the man who was deaf or mute, we have been given that fundamental healing that Isaiah speaks of, and we are invited to bring our infirmities to him, not for miraculous cures, but for the constant power to grow and to change, and perhaps to learn how to carry the burden of pain. It means to let him touch us. It means to let him open our eyes, unplug our ears, strengthen our weak legs, so that we in turn can go out in the name of Jesus and touch other people in need. It means that we must be willing to develop a new vision of who we are, that we might take the talents and the strength and the psychic energy we have been given and share it with others to help them. It means rearranging priorities in our lives. Jesus so often took into his heart the very pains of people who could not hear or speak, and he touched them, and they became different. We can do the same in another kind of way. It's not likely that we can make, but we could reach out, touch, share the pain of another. We could be bearers of forgiveness to our families. We could visit the sick, the elderly, the lonely. We could share the sorrow of one grieving, and by our own presence, make Jesus present to them. The needs all around us are our obligations. We are not here in this world to take advantage of those around us. We cannot close our eyes to the poor, the dirty, the drunk, the illiterate. And in the process of liberating other people from their pain, we discover we have liberated ourselves. We have liberated ourselves.